name, sir?
Thomas Lanford.
Mr. Lanford, what is your ABC number, sir?
135051.
Thank you, sir. Seeing that what we see here, that you've been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412A411, a home arrest, that is general parole, absolute discharge, a home arrest. Is that your understanding why you appear before this board today, sir?
Yes.
And although you cannot see us because we're doing this by telephone today, there are four board members participating in your hearing today. They are the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Lynn House, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is C.Q. Wright. I'm serving as your panel lead for your hearing this morning, sir.
Okay.
According to information that's been presented to the board, I do take note that you're serving one term there, and that is with molestation of a child and attempt to commit, and that was a 10-year sentence. And this one actually had its beginning on November the 7th, 2012, and you became parole eligible on this one for November 7th, 2017, and your SED date is listed as November 7th, 2022. Is that your understanding, sir?
My early release date?
Yes, sir.
Is the December 8th, 2019.
Okay, they just did not put it on this sheet, so that's the reason that we was reading from the sheet that was presented to the board to release eligibility. I am not going to disagree with that, but to make sure that that is the case, I'm going to suggest very strongly that after this hearing that you, I am still going to suggest, I do see ERD on the annual report, that is listed as December 8, 2019, but on the
annual
sheet, that was not listed that way. So you might just make sure that all your records are the same, check with your CO3, so they can check with time comp to make sure that they are the same, because the annual does give us the date that you gave us, sir, December the 8th, 2019.
Okay. Yes, I verified that with the CPO.
Okay, so we're glad to know that, sir.
Okay.
But we do take note, we do see your institution of progress report that you've had a number of programs that you have participated in over the years, and I guess you have one this year, the sex offender training. Are you still in that program? It seems to me that that one started in February this year. Are you still in there, or is that one an ongoing one? What's going on there, sir?
I'm still in that one with Mr. Harding and Mr. Stenner, and I've been working diligently for social reintegration, redoing my relapse prevention plan and updating it.
Okay, and I do take note that you had one last year. Did you complete the one last year that was that you were doing back in July of last? That's July this year. So you've been.
My relapse prevention plan. My original one was from 2006 to 2008, but I've been working these past months to update that in different parts.
Okay.
To go with the changing times.
Okay, so now what is this one about that you're in now? What is your brief description from your perspective? What you're supposed to be learning in that one, sir?
This one here is it's an advanced social reintegration. It pertains to how we're going to have a secure support network plans so that when we're released, how we're going to reintegrate with regards to living and being around other people, working with our probation officer or parole officer, and finding employment, just basically just getting back, you know, back into society.
Okay, now have you had the one that deal with the triggers that resulted in your behavior that ended up with you being incarcerated? Have you had that course yet, sir?
Yes, sir. I volunteered for that when I was incarcerated in 2007, and that's when I worked on all of those issues, which is, I spent 2 years doing that.
I know 7 been a long time ago, but do you remember what your triggers were, or some of your triggers might have been, sir?
Yeah, it's part of my relapse prevention plan. Part of that plan, it talked about sex offense patterns as far as victim selection, engagement, grooming, things like that. So I've been working on all those types of issues those are things also that do come up that we continue to work on, so that when I, you know, get back into society, that I can be keep, you know, I remain safe and create no other victims.
Okay. Now, with your permission, I'm going to come back to that one because I do have some other questions, but I just move on with the progress report that you submitted to the board. It seems to me that if you're released, you're going to reside with your friends in Tempe, Arizona. Is that still your place where you want to reside once you're released, sir, with the Wilsons?
Yes.
But who are the Wilsons? You said they listed here as your friends. Are they long-term friends, or how do you know the Wilsons, sir?
The Wilsons I met in 2010 when I was on probation. They're the they're members of my church that I belong to, and they had a room that I was able to rent, and so I met them in 2010. But they were part of my, the church I belong to.
Okay, well, that's good to know, and do they supportive of you? And
Yes, they've been very supportive of me. When I was on probation, when the probation officer would come to the house, they would interact with the probation officer, and they were very supportive of that.
See, although it was dismissed, you did have a ticket back in January of this year, violation of departmental policies or something. Although it was dismissed, do you know what that one was about, sir? Do you recall? It was dismissed.
I don't recall. To be honest with you, I don't recall. So much have been some kind of minor. I don't even remember, to be honest with you.
Okay. You had one in 17 as well. That was a minor. Do you recall what went wrong in 17 and they gave you a ticket, sir?
Yeah, it was where I had some minor contraband. It was a sock that I had put around my eyes to keep the lights out of my eyes. And they didn't want you to have something covering your eyes at night when you try to sleep because there's still lights on in the dorms. So they just took it away, and that was it.
Okay. So now let me go back to your programs. We talked about the sexual ones that you had. I see that you also, at some point, that goes back to 09, I think you had something in construction, technology or something, and what was that for, employment, so that you would find employment?
That class was instrumental in me getting hired when I got out on probation. I worked for Arizona Correctional Industries as a metal fabricator at South Unit for 6.5 years, from 2000 to 2006. And then I took the building construction class, and then when I was released in 2009, I got hired 3 months after being released from DOC, and I remained employed there up until I came back to prison. And then, of course, you probably have, I submitted a letter from my employer that they've indicated they want to rehire me as soon as I secure my release.
And so we do have that letter. That letter is a part of your record, sir. That's the one from Amber Steele in Chandler, Arizona. They're ready to hire you as soon as you get out.
They wrote me. I submitted that letter because I was a good employee, and I really liked that. I enjoyed working there. I enjoyed the people. The owners are also part of my faith. They've been very supportive of me. Even when the probation officer comes by to the facility, they always interact with them, and they're very supportive.
And it was all the way back in 1998. Did you get your GED at that time, sir? I just note
yes.
That's part of your program that was listed. So
yes, I did participate that as soon as I came in 2000, or I'm sorry, in 98, I participated in that right away and achieved that within my first year.
Okay, well, we're glad to know that.
But I definitely have taken advantage of every opportunity presented to me since I came in the system, especially with the Central Arizona College, where I acquired a business certificate. With the things I've learned from Arizona Correctional Industries, even within the last 2.5 years I worked here on this unit, becoming a bolsterer. So, I mean, I've taken advantage of every opportunity to try to improve myself so that when I reintegrate back into society, I can be effective and contribute to society.
Okay, so I'm going to skip around. I was going to ask something else, but since you mentioned the reintegration into society, I think I'm going in that direction at this point in terms of my question. Other board members might want to go in another direction. Is if I read this correct, and you can correct me, you know, that the that you have that criminal record to the molestation of a child, and that was a violation, and then you violated that, sir, and then you ended up being reincarcerated. What happened there, sir? You had your freedom.
Well, it
was
what happened, right?
You was granted your freedom, and you ended up being reincarcerated. I read what we have in writing, but I want you to tell me exactly what happened. You know.
I remember discussing this last year, but it's basically when I petitioned the court, when I was on probation, I petitioned the court to have my probation either modified or revoked. And probation didn't want me to do that, even though it was my legal right. And because I'd retained an attorney and he filed a motion with the court, they basically just... they weren't very happy with that, even though, you know, I hadn't had any write-ups, or, I mean, I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing. I transferred to maintenance. So after that incident, that's when basically they retaliated, and that's when I was put on a curfew. And then I broke my curfew, and then I broke my curfew, and I was arrested, violated, and then I was reinstated, and then I was put back on probation again.
Exactly. Why are you incarcerated at this moment, sir, in your opinion? Not the opinion of the lawyers and...
Right.
Because I violated
probation, and because it versus doing the probation, I'm doing the 10-year prison sentence. So the prison, I'm serving the sentence, it's just not the probation. It's the judge decided to give me the prison sentence.
Okay,
but it's for two counts. The original counts are from the same day. One I served the 12 years for, and then I got out on the second count, which was the probation. And then I'm in prison now doing the 10 years on the second count versus the probation.
Okay, so probation, so you violated your probation, am I correct?
Yes, I violated my probation.
You violated your probation, and...
Yeah.
After you violated your probation, then you were brought back into DOC.
Yes.
Am I correct, sir?
Yes, I was given a 2.25-year sentence by Judge Ross in December of 2012 after I violated probation. And in 2013, that sentence of 2.25 years was revoked. It was determined that it was an illegal sentence. And Judge McGuire... even though I had been given a mitigated sentence by Judge Ross of 2.25, Judge McGuire chose to give me a presumptive sentence of 10 years, so he gave it me 4 times the original amount of sentence I had when I got here. But when I first got to prison, I was doing 2.25 years. And then 3 months later, I went back because they said they had given me an illegal sentence,
mm-hmm.
and they revoked it, and they gave me 10 years presumptive.
So at the moment, you're serving a 10-year,
and and it was 2.25. So Judge McGuire chose to give me a presumptive over mitigated, and it gave me 4 times the amount that Judge Ross had given me just 3 months previous.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that as you know, there's no control I have over that, and I'm just here to pay my debt.
And I'm not sure that I understand that, because I'm getting just a little confused. You were expecting to get 2.5 years, and...
I was given two and a quarter years,
and with the judge multiplied that by 4, and you ended up with 10 years. So,
Judge Ross was my sentencing judge after I violated probation. He gave me 2.25 years. I was sent to this unit. 3 months later, I was taken back to court. A different judge revoked the 2.25, said it was illegal, and the different judge gave me 10 years for the same offense.
Okay.
So when I'm already here doing 2.25-year sentence given by Judge Ross, 3 months later, I find that they're going to revoke it. They're going to give me 4 times the amount for no new information, just because they said the original sentence was illegal. And I took that, and I didn't, you know, that's just how it happened. And I've been doing my time diligently. I've been staying busy. I've been working at Arizona Correctional Industries. I've been in treatment, and I'm just working very hard to prepare myself for when I get out.
Okay, so now we didn't talk about it, but I do have, as I look around the room, I do have two board members who did not participate in the last hearing that you came before this board. And I wanted to ask you, sir, would you just give us a brief description of what happened back in 1998 that resulted in your being incarcerated in the first place for child molest station? What happened then, sir, in your words?
In my words, I was at a low point in my life, and I took advantage of an opportunity, sir, and I am deeply remorseful for what I did. I was the father of this child that I violated against, and I have diligently worked to pay my debts aside, to work hard to change and to become a better person. But I made poor choices, and I violated the trust of someone that I should never have, and I've been very remorseful for that for the last 20 years. I've been in the system for 20 years, and I've worked diligently to turn my life around, to be a better person, and to make sure that I don't ever make those poor choices again. That's how I feel.
So, sir, you are, and this is not a court of law by any chance, so we couldn't change anything. We don't have that ability. But you are saying that you were guilty of the original charges that came back in 1998, sir. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir, and I've taken full responsibility. When I was incarcerated, I chose to give up my job, which was top pay at one unit. I was moved to another unit, gave up visitation with my parents in order to enter the treatment program that was being offered to me at a voluntary level, in order to prepare myself because I was close to, I was 3 years within release, and I wanted to be involved in the treatment in order to take advantage of what I needed to take advantage of, in order to learn all about the things, the triggers, the red flags, all the things that people need to know and need to learn in order to become, to change their behavior. So cognitive behavioral therapy is what I needed, and I took advantage of it.
Okay, sir. Let me just ask this couple more questions, then I'll go to other board members. But I'm back now to the reason that you're currently incarcerated. I'm looking at a letter from the department, I mean from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, and among other things, they point out that on December 10, 2012, that your probation officer filed a request to revoke your probation for six reasons, and I'm not going to allow six reasons. One was because you had contact with the victim without the written approval by the adult probation department, that you were not abided by the special conditions of intensive probation, that you contacted the victim through electronic means and so forth, that you failed to obtain prior written approval of the adult probation department before possessing any sexual stimulating or sexual oriented materials, that you failed to obtain prior written approval of the adult probation department before using any device that has internet capability, and that you failed to follow your intensive probation supervision schedule of November 28, 2012. I went over real fast. I wasn't planning to go over all six of them. I ended up going over all six of them. Was basically that you agreed, basically what the probation officer said about you in December 10, 2012, or did you disagree with basically what they were saying, sir?
I disagreed, sir, and at the probation violation hearing, it was all of those things that you just mentioned. I'm familiar with what those charges were. All of them were unfounded except for the one, which was I was off my schedule. That's the one that I was not, it was at my parents' house where I was supposed to be at home, and I had stopped at my parents' house. So I was off my schedule. That was the only thing that I was ever found guilty of. Everything else was unfounded.
Everything else was unfounded.
Yes, sir. It was. And I'm sorry.
I'm not disagreeing. I am trying to just figure out.
Yeah, that's.
But that resulted in your currently serving a 10-year sentence,
yes.
That you're currently on. Am I correct, sir?
Yes. Yeah, all those, even though all the things that you mentioned were unfounded, except that I was off the schedule because I was on intense probation, I was off my schedule. That was the only thing that was proven, and I'd already been violated previously for breaking my curfew, and even though there was other charges also thrown in that, those were all unfounded as well, except for the fact that I was off my curfew. So so all those things were unfounded in the courtroom at the violation hearing.
Okay, sir.
So I came back because I was off my schedule.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Well, I'm going to yield to other board members at this time. I have some more questions, but I will go on and on. But we do have other board members, and some of them have not had an opportunity to speak with you in the past, and I don't know whether they have questions or not. So I'm going to open it up to other board members at this time.
All right. Thank you,
questions,
sir.
Questions for Mr. Lang. Honorable Mr. Neal.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lanford, I see in this is part of the letter from the Meadowbrook County Attorney's Office. It's talking about when you were sentenced to a 10-year term. I understand what the issue was with that 2.25 years, and literally the terms of the plea agreement meant you had said that if you violated lifetime probation, you have to serve that sentence, which was, I don't know if there was a set period, but it is presumptive of 10 years, not 2.25 years. So, and the courts upheld the objection to the 2.25 years. So, you talk like you were given a wrong deal in that whole thing, but you got involved with the law dictates.
Right. No, it's what I was trying to convey.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Anyway, at that sentencing, there was a letter brought up that you wrote to your daughter after you got the 2.25 years. And it's quoted as saying, and this is you to your daughter, you played into it perfectly. It couldn't have been scripted any better, even if I'd written myself. If only I could have seen the look on everyone's faces, yours, probation's, my therapist, and Alex goes in that he goes, and as I said in our last correspondence, I always get what I want. Now, during that hearing and everything, I guess you had all sorts of authority figures speaking against what, that the first one you had reinstated because of what, whatever that had been, and the second one, everything that was being discussed was against you. Apparently, your victim spoke more favorably, or maybe didn't say much at all. But the judge did not say, something the letter, I think, does demonstrate that what the state and probation officer have opined and treatment providers have opined is, in fact, correct. I don't think you can read that card and not come away with the conclusion that Mr. Lanford has not internalized any of his treatment, that he has no remorse for what he did, and that, in fact, the counseling apparently that he participated in to great extent was nothing more than a charade to try and get off of probation early. Now, that really, really, really concerns me about
allegations
and everything else. Now, that was in 2013. That's five and a half years ago.
Yes, sir.
So, right now, myself as just one individual voting member of this board, say what you think would be necessary to convince me that in the last 5.5 years, you have seriously changed the way you think and how you consider whether it be your daughter or some other juvenile, I even think of them as some kind of some exception or whatever it is. But explain to me, as one individual voting member of this board, what it is that's changed so much in the last 5 years that I should vote to give you another release?
Okay. I remember talking about this last year with the board, and I've continually thought about this since what you just described happened in the courtroom. And I remember specifically the letter that you're referring to, and that came up in my sentencing. And that was at a time when I wrote that letter where I was very, you know, I had gone through so many changes as far as giving up, you know, coming back to prison, and it just, all these emotions were flooding me, and so I just reacted in a way that I shouldn't have, and I wrote that letter, which I was very remorseful for. When I went back to resentencing, that letter came up, and I knew that was, you know, it wasn't that I was upset about the fact that they took away an illegal sentence, or even that I was given the presumptive. I came here, and I'm not bitter about what happened, and I've taken advantage of being involved in the treatment again to reinforce the things that I had learned previously, and to just realize that this isn't how that I should react when I get, you know, if a person gets angry in writing the things that I did. And so that's why I'm continually working on myself and to have more empathy for my victim and to realize the impact that it had on her, and you know, that's part of what I've been working on.
Okay.
And so being released back into society, I want to be, you know, be cognitive of those types of that type of thinking, and that's, you know, the type of behavior, and that's what I've been working on diligently.
Okay, back in your violated back in 2012, there were some things that you mentioned by your therapist, and the therapist had determined or had decided through therapy that you were misogynistic and not even truthful with yourself, which the therapist agreed to, but also that in group, you stated in group that you had three minor victims. So according to what you told people in group, you have more victims than just your daughter. Tell me about that.
Well, part of my treatment, when I started treatment in 2007, entered voluntary into treatment, part of that was the sex offender therapy was dealing with all the issues I had, including my own child sexual abuse. So not just my own sex of being victimized, but those that I victimized against. And everything that I talked about in those 2 years of treatment, that was all part of the treatment that I went involved with, but that was on the record.
Okay,
and those were incidents that had come up.
Okay,
that was part of, I'm sorry.
Tell me about,
yeah,
specifically, not, you know, your abuse when you were a kid, not any of
right.
that stuff, but where did you come up with three minor victims?
Well, the victim which I was sentenced to prison for, and then there was two other alleged victims that were in that took place years before, where I had gone to court on one of them and it was dismissed. And that was another, everything that has to do with my sexual history has been brought up in treatment, and I've addressed that.
Okay.
And then the other victim that was part of that was a friend of my daughter's that it was alleged that I had touched her inappropriately.
But he wasn't pursued?
No.
Okay. But she was a victim, and you claimed her as a victim, so you must have actually done what she accused you of.
Well, I never found it. That I admitted to doing anything. It was part of what was alleged.
Okay.
And that was part of my treatment, is talking about victims, you know, that were on the record. But it was on the record that had been alleged.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir. I don't have any further questions.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Neal. No other questions by board members. The Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Sir, I just had just a quick question. When you were out on lifetime probation,
yes, sir.
How come you didn't complete or take that sexual classes prior to that? It appears that you just weren't willing to do it at that point, or what?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
When you were out previously on probation, before you got the 10-year sentence or the 2.5-year sentence, why did you not participate in sexual counseling programs there?
When I first got out, I went to Mountain Valley was the counseling place.
Uh-huh.
And I went there and they were going to evaluate where they wanted to place me in the treatment program.
Uh-huh.
So I went there and I was at the direction. I was waiting to be placed for placement, basically.
Uh-huh.
And so I wasn't doing anything to try to avoid there as part of what the probation officer instructed me to do. And then it just took them however long it did before they did put me in a group. But once they did, I participated.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Any further questions by board members? Here, no further questions. I'm going to just make one statement and then ask one question. The Honorable Mr. Neal and myself referred to the letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, and I just want to put on record the most recent letter from them was dated August 17, 2018. I just wanted that to be on record so that if anybody should ask why did we come up with that information from. And my question, sir, is, and this goes back to a letter dated, dated July 30th, 2017, over a year ago. It says, on August 9, 2017, my older brother Thomas, named Anthony, will face the board for a review of parole eligibility. I write to ask the board to not allow any search probation to be granted because I know it will only result in more harm to the community in which he would be released. Now that's from your brother. Why do you think your brother would write a letter like that? So that's not a letter of support from your brother. That's a letter that your brother wrote. Why do you think he wrote something like that?
I have a very good response for that.
I'm listening, sir.
Okay. The brother you're speaking about,
just for the record, is David.
Yes, sir. David Lanford.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he wrote that letter. It's his way of retaliating against me because he took guardianship of my mother in 2016 and guardian conservatorship. And I was the only person that would be objector of him being appointed, and there were reasons for that. Well, 2 years later, a finding by Adult Protective Services that he financially exploited my mom. So I was fighting to protect my mom for the past 2 years from prison. And so his way of retaliating against me was to write that letter and say those things. And he told me he was going to do that. And he was trying to get me to back off. But because of my persistence in fighting for my mom, my brother is now on the run, has moved her to New Mexico, and he's now on the run facing criminal charges by Adult Protection Services, and he's on the Elder Abuse Registry as we speak. So that's why he wrote that letter, and because he didn't like the fact that I was fighting against him and what he eventually did.
Okay, so
I was protecting my mother.
You're protecting your mother. But if I heard you correctly, your mother, he moved your mother to New Mexico. Is she still in New Mexico, or he left her in New Mexico and they don't know where he is?
I was at a hearing just last month, and he abandoned my mom. It was July 2nd on her birthday, but he abandoned my mom in New Mexico, and they're trying. She's probably going to become a ward of the state, but he did that because there's another brother that lives in Roswell, New Mexico, but he said that he was leaving, and they don't. I haven't heard anything since then. There's another hearing coming up September 4th, I believe, and so I'm just waiting to hear more from the court. But I've written to Adult Protection Services, and I've been trying to continue to, find out more about my mom. But I fought my brother. Unfortunately, I fought my brother, who, again, there was a finding that he financially exploited her, which is what I was afraid of from the very beginning. That's why I objected. And, of course, he's going to retaliate. He thought the best way to do that would be to write the board to say the things that he said.
Okay, sir. Well, thanks so very much for your explanation, sir. I just found it very interesting.
You're welcome. That's why I apologize.
Let me see if any board members have any further questions for you at this time. I don't hear any at this time. We're coming towards the end of your hearing, and before we complete your hearing, I want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, please come forward. I'm sorry. Ms. Murray, she has, we do have something else.
Okay.
I should have asked, is there anyone else in the room supporting the, Ms. Flynn? I don't believe so. Any victims or victim support or victim, okay.
Yes,
please state your name, and I apologize for not calling on you. Thank you, ma'am.
It's all right. My name is Jacqueline Moody. I'm a victim advocate for Department of Corrections Victim Services. And this is a letter that I read. It's the same letter from Stephanie Miller, the victim of the crime, biological daughter of the inmate. My name is Stephanie Miller. I was contacted by Victim Services. I'm the victim of the crimes committed by Thomas Lamper, my biological father. Thomas Lamper molested me from the time I was 7 years old until I was 15 years old. He ran from the law my entire life and moved our family from state to avoid jail time. I don't believe he would have ever stopped abusing me and my family, my mother and two brothers, if he hadn't molested one of my friends in Michigan. Thomas also had many other victims of sexual abuse that he was never tried for in many states. Thomas isn't serving time now because he was harassing me through Facebook Messenger. I was not his friend on there, and he wrote many things he knew would push my buttons and I would notify the authorities. Once he was arrested that December, I received a birthday card in January from the jail that Thomas Lamper, who was not supposed to contact the victim. In the birthday card, he wrote, "You wish you could have seen my face when I heard he would no longer have lifetime probation." One thing I'd like the courts to really think about is probation for the rest of the life period, that it can't be taken away. He was gloating about the fact that he had my boy and brother pregnant and I would have a new sister or brother. This disgusted me in so many ways, and he also wrote that he was not sorry for anything he did to me and that he helped my marriage end in divorce. Thomas Lamper is and will always be a threat to society for the rest of his life. He is narcissistic, lying, deceitful, hateful, abusive, sexually, physically, and mentally a human being. I plead the courts to keep Thomas Lamper where he belongs behind bars when he can't hurt anyone else. This is why I requested when I was 16 years old that he have lifetime probation so that he would be under a microscope of the law to protect others. Thank you, Stephanie Moore. And I just wanted to add, as part of the discussion, that with some of our interactions with the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, there was, they had discussed in general, not to the specific case, about trends of burning, people burning the lifetime probation, so they wouldn't have to be on it for their whole life. And so that was a trend for many years, and so these are very common clues when you're part of prison and then lifetime probation. And so the new practice with Maricopa County Attorney's Office, and I assume other counties will follow, is when they have enough counts to actually do several counts of the lifetime probation, and then if they go to prison on one count, that they'd still have that probation waiting for them as a concern. So part of the victim's concern is that in this case we won't have that cushion by society, and we discussed that with her. I kind of let the board know that there's like a term for that in our society and locally. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Any questions, board members?
I just want to make a comment. I believe the way and it is, he will still have to be a registered sex offender. So there is a high likelihood that he might be back anyway on that. But and also, in reading the sentencing, I'm not so sure that Ames is wrong. They show that he's got another lifetime probation hold on. The sentencing docs talk about more than one count. But it's vague, and I'm not a legal expert, so I can't say for sure. But it's possible that he had lifetime probation for two separate counts.
He doesn't.
He doesn't.
No, when he wrote this probation on made intentionally by you, the way he wrote it, and exactly what you referred to earlier. He had a deal in the works for the 2.5 to resolve, and you know, that time, it was in between, it hadn't been sentenced yet, so they pulled it, and then we did it. They had enough to get the 10 years. We did a lot of homework on this last year, and found that it will only be registration. And if they put them, so registration, there's no other, you know, authority over, you know, besides going to register, nobody will go through if you don't register, you just happen to get caught. And then if it's, they'll register on rank him, evaluate him on 1, 2, or 3, and if he ends up being a 1, they will not put him on the, like, the public can see that. And so it's, you know, additional concern. It's not a lot to give, but it is the potentially the only thing that we're going to have to do that. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you so very much, and I apologize for not recognizing that you were there to speak.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, I don't believe there's no one else to speak on your behalf, sir, or to speak as a victim or a supporter of a victim. Therefore, we're back to you, Mr. Lankworth, and as I was saying, that we'll give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself, sir. So what else you want to tell the board, sir? We're prepared to listen.
Well, I didn't quite get to hear everything that was said, and I wasn't quite sure who it was that was speaking just then.
There was a representative from Victim Services from the Department of Corrections who was reading a letter from your daughter, sir.
Oh, okay.
From the victim, let me put it that way.
I remember correctly now. Yes. Well, you know, I've been in the system, and I've been either in prison or on probation for the past 20 years. I was sentenced 20 years ago this year, and I understand the letter from the victim, and I'm sympathetic to everything that she said in that letter. But I just know in my heart that the last 20 years of my life, I know that I've been serving my time diligently, with no major infractions, incarcerated for 20 years. I've had 5 minor infractions. And I know that I've taken advantage of every opportunity that prison has to offer. And I know I'm an imperfect person. I understand that I made mistakes, including the letter that was discussed earlier today, that the judge took. He says he wasn't going to take into consideration, but even if he had, I wasn't upset at the fact that I was revoked of an illegal sentence and given the 10 years. I understand that I was going to serve my time, and I've been serving my time with no regrets and taking advantage of everything I possibly can. And so to tell the board the only thing I can say is that I've been doing everything within my power to become a better person so that when I do get released next year, if I don't get paroled this year, because I will be released next year, I still have a positive attitude. And I do want to contribute and give back to the community. And that's the best thing I can say to you, and that the 20 years that I've spent paying my debt for what I did, which I'm very sorry for, 20 years is 20 years. And I am not regretful of those 20 years, and I look forward to reentering society, and I know I will register as a sex offender, but I know that I can be a positive influence and I can impact the community in a positive way. That's the only thing I can tell the board today.
Thank you so very much, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. It may sound as if we're talking to you, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves. And following this discussion, the board will make its determination known at that time. And as always, please stay on the phone. As part of the open meeting laws of Arizona, you have a right to listen and hear everything that a board member will say. The board is now in discussion. I find Mr. Lankworth has been a very interesting individual. I won't go over everything because he's been before this board before, but he did admit that he was guilty of the original crime back in, I believe, 1998, and he served his term, and then he was placed on probation, and then he violated his probation. He might disagree with some of the terms that were stated, but in his discussion with the board members today, I think it's safe to say that there were some violations that did take place. would, just on a positive note, but point out the fact that his employer has indicated that he would re-employ him once he's released. I would also point out in a positive sense for him that he does have some letters or support from some family members in the past, although the one letter that caught my eye was the one, the brother, which we cannot get into because that's in the judicial system, not in our system. So what his brother asked that he not be placed on probation. The one reason that I've come to the conclusion that I've come to, and there may be some others, but one major reason that I have, he's still enrolled in that course, and I would not want him to get out until he's completed that course, and therefore, I'm not in favor of probation and absolute discharge or home arrest at this time, but I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time.
I agree.
Therefore, I'm going to offer a motion to deny general parole after discharge or home arrest, and the motion is going to be made by myself. Did I get a second?
Second.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Neal, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and I'm going to recommend a 1 year set off since he worked out until December 8th of 2019. Therefore, I'm going to recommend a 1 year set off and release type that's being denied today is 412A, 411, or home arrest. And reasons for the now serious and violent offense, serious and deviant behavior, trauma to the victim, age of the victim, based upon information that's been presented, maybe not a part of the course, but there were multiple victims. And according to information that's been presented to the board, there has also been victim harassment. He does have a release plan. He's going to stay with one of his Christian families. He does have some family support in room form, but not in the room today, to the best of my knowledge. And he's completed his programming, therefore I'm not going to make a comment on programming. And he has not had any recent, he had one, but it was not a major, I don't believe. All the ones that I'm going to include, is there anything else, board members, that should be included? I hear nothing else from board members. So you heard the reasons for your being denied today. Do I need to repeat them, sir?
No, you don't. And I understand that there's no need to put out for another parole hearing since I'll be released next year.
Okay, that'll be your decision because it will be up to December, according to information that we have, it'll be December 8th of next year.
I'll be released then.
Whether you want to come before the board again before you're released, so we can't make that determination, but you will be certified by the Department of Corrections around this time next year for another hearing before the board. But it's your decision whether you want to come or not, sir. Thank you so very much for your participation, and please put the CO3 of the officer back on, sir.
All right. Thank you all for your time as well. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.